Aram, what was that?
Good news. I found a dragon.
No, you didn't. Dragons aren't real, Aram.
Oh, they are quite real, Dylan. And very clumsy.
All right, I'll play. Why did you bring a dragon here?
What better way to promote Kill Every Monster than with an actual dragon? We may need to pump up the Patreon just a little.
For $2 a month, supporters on patreon.com/killeverymonster get access to ad-free episodes as they're released. For $5, you'll get them early along with audio DMs notes featuring Aram and I discussing how we made each episode.
For $10 a month, you'll get audio and video DMs notes along with extended cutting room floor content that didn't quite make it into the main episode.
We also have a $25 investor level and a $50 producer level. Support at these tiers ensures we can continue to produce Kill Every Monster and allows us to hire more talent from the community. Both levels get a personalized shout-out at the end of every episode, and producers get a welcome pack of each official Dead Ghost and Kill Every Monster pin we have left in stock.
The $2, $5, and $10 patron tiers are available with a 7-day free trial for new subscribers. So head over to patreon.com/killeverymonster and check out everything we have to offer at no cost to you.
Want another free way to help the show? Give us a review. Written reviews are amazing, but even clicking 5 stars is a huge boost. Podcast reviews are the best way we have to get the show in front of new listeners. You can leave reviews for Kill Every Monster on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast Addict.
Find all the ways you can support the show and leave us a review at patreon.com/killeverymonster. So, Kill Every Monster Season 4 Mailbag.
Did we ever establish a pattern for who reads the first one? Do you read the first one? Do I read the first one?
Go
ahead.
Do
we wait
for
someone
really
else to read the first one?
We'll be waiting a long time.
If that's fair. Okay.
Why don't you go ahead?
Then let's just go one from everybody, and if we don't feel like we got an episode length out of it, then we'll loop back to the top.
All right.
Eric from the Discord asks, what's the timeline between the DM notes and an episode? Are there some of the DM notes discussion pre-episode and then cut in? Do you wrap the episode with the guest and then immediately switch to the DM notes after they've left? The answer is up to several months.
Yeah, it's nice that they think we're that organized.
No. Well, the thing is, like, I feel like a lot of this stuff, to get new comments out of it, I need some time to sit with what we talked about and, like, yeah, figure out what's going on. And the best way to do that, frankly, is Aram always gets an edit to me and the guest before we put the episode out.
Right. So the timeline is how long it takes for me to edit.
Yeah.
That's what the timeline
so
is.
So Aram will get the edit done. I will take a listen to it to make sure Aram didn't, like, misplace an audio track, which happens every now and then. And then once we've both heard the episode relatively recently, we'll go in with sort of a fresh mind and be able to comment on, like, one, what actually happened in the episode, because we'll remember it, but also we'll have fresh brains.
Yeah,
to,
we'll,
like,
have something
come
else
at
to
it
say
again,
as opposed to not just running through the episode again.
Yeah, because I think there were a few kind of earlier on where we were on a little bit, we had a better rhythm for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, but we would record them, like, right after. Well, for a while, the DM notes were just your written notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, like, I don't know how much people were getting out of those, but
if they could read your handwriting.
Hey, fuck you. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. You are going to be a doctor.
Not that kind of doctor. No, like, it was also just, like, the further in we got, the more it was, like, me fully pre-planning those sessions,
yeah,
kind of started, yeah, not landing right.
Mm-hmm.
And we had too many things where we, like, talked to the guest and then, like, started to pivot on the structure of the episode. And then we're like, oh, well, my fucking notes are useless here.
Yeah, it just ended up being something where the AP kind of falls together in a conversation between usually you and the guest, sometimes all three of us.
Yeah.
And there were no real other notes, so the DM notes became more of a discussion about how the episode came together and also some other stray thoughts we may have had on either the creature or just the ideas we talked about.
Yeah.
But we need the time.
Yeah, exactly. So we've mentioned it a couple of times now, but the number of sessions that have just been like, I think we legitimately, you guys can all go back and try to figure out which ones, but I think one or two of the written notes straight up was like, I didn't know what we were doing until we recorded, and I just wrote some notes up afterwards to fit the proper aesthetic because I felt obligated to.
Yeah.
But it was straight up like, I didn't know what we were going to do, and we had to talk through it, and then by the end of it, I'm left going like, fuck. We got the better episode out of that, but now what am I supposed to do? I guess I just lie.
It didn't really make for a helpful thing, but no. These do. These are fun. We get to see your pretty face and also mine, and it works out perfectly.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's how
but
that
the
one
answer
works.
Is up to a year.
Up to it, yeah. Generally speaking, though, we will have at least listened to the episode in the past like couple of days before we record them.
You're right, or we'll just forget everything again.
Well, yeah, I don't remember yesterday, let alone what we did in the last recording.
All right. Alex, also on the Discord, are there any monsters you would ask the guest to run again now that you've had a feel for them in play?
I know your answer to this one, so you go ahead and disappoint me.
Yes. Yes, there are. We've talked about it, and it's going to be vampire, and it's going to be the vampire from the new book, and it's going to be a patron-only thing that you will see. Well, patron and Apple Podcasts-only thing that you may see in the next couple months, depending on whether or not I can get Dylan to agree with me.
No.
No, we haven't talked about it yet.
That's the thing. That was the rules. That was the whole point.
That's the rules for the main feed.
We are going to have a larger conversation because I think the thing that you want to do with the vampire is not a kill every monster episode. And the actual thing you want to do is sort of unrelated, and you're structuring it into a kill every monster episode because that's the easiest way to get it done. And you and I will have that conversation ourselves later.
Yes, but
shut your goddamn mouth.
But the answer is yes, there are episodes I want to go back into and re-record, not because I don't think anything got done. I think all of our episodes were very successful. I also think that there are other ways to look at some of the monsters. Plus, I would like to touch on some of the changes in the new book, but not in the main feed, because the main feed is a 5e feed and will remain a 5e feed.
Part of it, for me, frankly, is audience management. When we set up an expectation, like, or when we create the room for an expectation, it tends to grow. Yep. So, like, when we do a dragon episode, I want to set that there and be, that's the dragon episode, we're done. And if we get a good pitch, yes, strictly speaking, we talked about black dragon, so we could do a red dragon, and we'll see how it goes. But when you go in there and go, oh, well, that was just the black dragon, now we got to do four more. I'm like, well, every once in a while we get someone, when are you going to do, like, if no one ever shows up with a good pitch, never.
Right. Right.
And that's the same sort of thing. Is
we've done three dragon episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I've been trying to squeeze them in so that you'll shut up about it.
We did black dragon. We did the dragon turtle, which is technically an actual dragon. And we've done kobolds, which are also now dragons.
That's not out yet. But I also did a blue dragon in the drow episode.
Oh, right. Well, you slotted a blue dragon
bastard.
In.
Yeah. No, I don't want to fucking talk about more dragons because they're not interesting. Again, unless a guest has a good pitch. No, but that's what I'm trying to get at is generally speaking.
Right.
There might be. And I haven't looked at it yet because I'm not paying for that fucking book. But generally speaking, everything I've seen out of the new monster manual is the same or worse. And there's no useful commentary. Like, we went over the stat block for the vampire.
We did.
It's the same.
It's basically the same.
Functionally, there's like one thing that shifted somewhere that, like, because of a mistake in rules wording, I think made them like stupid powerful, or there was one ability you couldn't get out of anymore.
Yeah. No, that was
functionally.
That was the Mind Flayer. They messed up some of the text of the Mind Flayer. So once it grabs hold of you, there's no way to get out. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's little stuff like that. But otherwise, they're functionally identical to the way they were off the hop. The only thing they're changing is lore, and the way that they're changing the lore is not putting it in.
Okay, agreed.
We talked about we recorded the kobold episode.
Yeah.
For the kobold in the 5e monster manual, there's an entire page of nonsense, and some of it sucks, and some of it's fine, and some of it's just talking about the existence of Maglubiot, which no one needed to know about, but it's there.
Yeah.
And in the 2024 edition, there are 11 sentences.
Yes, they took out all the good stuff. I counted them.
And you know how you know that's not enough sentences?
Because you can count them.
Count them.
Yes.
No, I look at nearly any entry in the original 5e monster manual, and I go, like, I'm not going to do that.
And look, I agree with all of this. However, I watched Sinners, and then I talked to Amelia for 2 hours.
This is why I'm saying you don't want to kill every monster episode.
You
want an excuse to talk about vampires and do a vampire thing, and I'm willing to bet if you broke off from this idea that you want to do a new 5e kill every monster vampire episode, we could find a better idea that would scratch that itch and, unlike the new edition of The Vampire, be fucking interesting.
We'll go over this more in detail.
We will talk later.
Further arguments.
Stop bringing it up.
Okay. But there's
the
your
kids
answer.
Kids don't need to see us arguing.
Yes, one of us does. And no, we'll probably never do it.
Mel, we're going to keep pulling from the Discord. Mel asked, are there any PC classes you feel fit the format of the show the best or the worst?
Ooh.
And I'm going to say, first off, the worst is the rogue, which feels counterintuitive, except that the thing that a rogue does, well, the rogue does two things, right? One goes against the spirit of the show because it makes it too likely for you to succeed. All of your characters are purpose built with the monster in mind. So if you have expertise, you can fuck the entire AP.
Yep.
Because those will be the skills you're going to roll.
Yep. Absolutely. Not to mention a backstab, which could just take the thing out and then done.
Because you won't have a backstab. Because you're a single rogue.
Yeah. Well, I can still
You
hide.
Might get it off like once.
Right. Yeah.
But like at that point, like that was my second thing. Was you're going to fuck up the entire AP by making every single, like, you sap the tension out of it if we know that you've got like a plus 19 to some shit.
Yep.
And then you either will bullshit your way into a bunch of sneak attacks, which will just suck again because you've cranked your damage output in a way that makes the fight less interesting.
Yep.
Or you won't have a way to get your sneak attacks off, in which case you've hamstrung the character.
Right. Correct. On all those accounts. I'd say the close second is the paladin because I can solo the monster if I'm lucky.
See, that's why I think the paladin is one of the better options because that is only relevant in the combat. And generally, you only pull out a paladin for the really like big monsters, right?
That's true.
Like,
that's
you pulled a paladin for the lich, which could have been a dangerous play. But the Lich is also a glass cannon. So you had enough damage output that this fight with what is functionally a wizard wasn't going to take forever and be kind of stupid. But at the same time, like, the Lich has moves where they could have dropped you in a heartbeat. You pulled a paladin out to fight the dragon with Austin. Like, objectively the correct choice. Like, the paladin has a lot of places in this show where it's the only reasonable option.
Oh yeah, no one else was gonna last. I had to have a character with a shield and with that feat where they could hide behind the shield and completely protect themselves from the breath attack. No, that wasn't made up. That's the actual feat. That's how the shield feat works. If you roll against a breath attack, you get 100% coverage. Look it up. I did my homework on that one.
Yeah, you didn't do your homework on the fucking mounted combat feat, though.
No, I didn't. And you know what's funny? I also got that wrong when I used it later in one of Alex's campaigns. But I do have it right now. And I think maybe, it's the worst one. I think Rogue's pretty high up there, too. I mean, it'd be hard not just to agree with that. But I think Bard might be.
Bard is also
too.
A similar thing where it really relies on the existence of a party.
Yes. Like, yes.
You're not handing out inspiration to fuck y'all.
No. Fun when I'm trying to be ridiculous on purpose.
Yeah. There are times where it's thematic. The Perrotin episode, you did a bard, and that was correct. But also, you didn't do really anything in that episode.
No. Coolest thing I did was the cards.
Which, correct, right? Like, that fight, the way that we set up that AP, you needed to be kind of inept. And having you be this shitty musician, that lined up perfectly.
Yeah.
But 9 times out of 10, yeah, the bard's wrong.
Actually, a great musician, because I rolled that amazing performance roll, just sucked at everything else.
Yeah. A bad adventurer, which, yeah. Go figure, dude, right. In a fucking bar band isn't rocking the adventuring lifestyle.
His adventure was, I need to stumble home drunk. He had to go 9 blocks. That's all that was. All right.
And what's your pick for the best, then?
Oh, best. If they were better, I'd say Ranger, but because
if Rangers
they're
didn't
not,
suck, they would be a better class.
Right. But because they're not, I think, honestly, just the plain fighter, because I have a chance on some of the roles, but I'm going to mainly fail them. But in the end, it's a good combat.
Right.
And because they're just a fighter, they have weaknesses against flying creatures and some other things. So I think mainly just the standard
just sort of
fighter
outfitting
works well.
A fighter with a handful of like utility magic items tends to go pretty well.
Yep. Having the fighter against the Treant was great.
Mm-hmm.
Having the fighter against the werewolf was great, because it ended up not being a fight at all. Anthony from the Discord, which AP surprised you the most in how it turned out? The Rakshasa. I think that one surprised me the most. I did not expect it to be that epic.
No, I think a lot of them kind of like catch you off guard on sheer scale. I think it's goddamn it. Kieran with Connie.
Yes.
Like that, I expected it to take some turns. I expected it to be roleplay heavy. To just sort of like emotionally antagonize you into tears was really not, and just have you sort of walk away from it going like, I guess I have to be a better person. Like, I did not call that one.
No, and straight up drove me to tears. I was actually crying during that episode. Yeah. No surprise, it's Connie. But yeah, that was quite not where I expected that one to go.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's any other ones surprised me.
A lot of them, it's hard to think of because there is always some degree of surprise, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know how these are going to go going in. That's sort of the point of D&D, right? Role-playing games in general, you roll dice. But, like, they do have sort of, there's a confidence interval around it of just, like, it's going to do something like this. Like, the Mimic, we couldn't have called the exact ending. But also, it was very within parameters for sort of what you anticipate going in. There were a lot of twists and turns. It was a lot of fun getting there, but you called the ending.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think, I think another one is the Mind Flayer. Just how epic the ending of that combat was. That played out so well and came to such a nice button. I don't think I would have seen that coming. And I definitely didn't see it coming in the werewolf. Because Super Dylan refused to fight.
But that's really the thing, right? Like, I think even the Mind Flayer, like, I couldn't have called how, like, dead on that was going to be. But also, when we said, what if you're kidnapped and we do sort of a haunted house vibe? That's really the thing, right? Is we usually walk into these with a little bit of a target, and all of our guests are so good at hitting a target that when we call what the episode should be ahead of time, there can be no surprise in that they're going to fucking obliterate any instruction I give them.
Yep. I've never been surprised with how well the guests do. That's never been a surprise. Yeah.
Cole asked, is there any monster you don't think would make for a good episode?
Well, Dylan thinks half the book wouldn't make for a good episode.
This is the thing. This is where I've kind of turned around in that I know that there is always a guess that will make a monster make a good episode, right?
Yep.
Like, I think we've pushed it into season 5, but we have a recording for just fungi, which in the monster manual are traps, are literally just patches of mushrooms that can kind of fuck with your day. And we got a really solid, like, I really enjoyed that conversation, and that AP was fun.
That was a great episode.
Like, granted, I haven't heard it in a while, but like, I'm really confident that that episode is going to turn out nice. And like, looking at it, it shouldn't make a good episode. So it's one of those things where like, when someone comes to me and says they want the monster, I become confident that we're going to get a good episode. But if I flip through the monster manual, there's quite a few where I'm just going to go like, no, that sucks. The piercer will not be a good episode.
No, like, no, the roper might not be a great one.
I keep pushing for like, there's a handful of them. I think the cloaker fits into it too, where I'm just let's just do an episode that's just dungeon monsters.
Yeah.
Monsters that don't have any ecology, that don't have anything really going on, that only exists because Gygax at one point was like, ha ha ha, this stalactite is actually a fella.
Right.
Fuck
what
you,
if we
Gary.
Dropped a tarp from the ceiling, but it eats you? Yeah, that kind
That's
of stuff.
The thing. The cloaker isn't even that because it specifically is written to. Oh, no, I'm thinking of the dark mantle.
Right.
The dark mantle that just sits on a hook.
Yes.
And then if you put it on like a cloak, it'll bite your face off.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
That's worse
Fuck
than the mimic.
All the way off.
It's so bad. But you're right. We should do an episode with just those monsters. Because like, one of those monsters would not carry an episode.
It would be a bad episode.
Yeah, it'd be a bad episode.
Except that one day someone's going to show up and go like, do you know what I'm painfully passionate about? The dark mantle. And I'm going to be like,
all right.
I wouldn't have asked you to be on the show if I didn't think you were going to make a good call on this. So fucking fine, I guess.
Might be our shortest episode ever, but let's do it.
And it'll turn out fucking great.
Right. Exactly. So there may be monsters we think will make bad episodes, but we've never hit a monster that's made a bad episode.
Yeah. I'm not going to because I'd have to pull up the list, but we could go down the list of monsters we've covered. And there's a good handful of them where I'm like, that episode should have sucked.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've had a talk about the purple worm where you've like, this is not going to be good, but we'll find a way to make
it. Oh, no, we will find an interesting conversation to be had there. I don't think the purple worm will make a bad episode. I think it's a boring monster.
I would agree. It is a boring monster, but it's an iconic boring monster, which is weird. Yeah,
that like, yes, it's a worm. It has a whole lot behind the mouth. But the only useful part for the monster is the mouth.
Yeah. The point of the purple worm is to get one of the party members swallowed. And then that, they're inside. Got to get them out. Yeah.
It's not a reference to anything culturally. Like, yeah, there are other like famous big worms. But like, this isn't comparable to Dune.
It's not like, a Dune creature. It's not a Tremors creature. It's more so a Tremors creature, but not even really that.
Because a Tremors creature was meant to be kind of a horror issue, and this is a thing that you're supposed to be able to kill with a 3-foot-long piece of metal.
Right. Whereas the purple worm, you kind of can't kill it unless you're at a big enough level, and at that point, it's not that much of a threat.
Yeah, and because it doesn't do anything interesting aside from small. We're getting into the purple worm episode. We'll save that for later.
Yes. All right. So, Craig on Blue Sky. Do Dylan or Aram feel conflicted about featuring monsters whose central shtick is that they basically can't be killed, like the Tarrasque, the Lich, Angels and Demons, etc., for a podcast titled Kill Every Monster?
So, no, because fundamentally the title is a little tongue-in-cheek, right? Like that.
Yeah.
How often do we really kill the monsters, right?
Originally, when I titled this thing, in my head, I had a different show in mind.
Yeah.
Which is, and then the title stuck because the title was kind of ironic in the way that, yes, we do kill every monster because it's I'm usually the monster.
Yeah. And, you know, it's less monsters got killed, less Aroms got killed. Everything, things started resolving peacefully occasionally. And we just held on to it because why would we rebrand?
Right. Our SEO is already already down the toilet. We might as well just keep
it. But no, like a lot of the monsters that where their shtick is they can't be killed. One of the fundamental things there is, yes, they can.
Right.
Right. A lich can't be killed unless you get the phylactery. Like there is an interesting little thing there. Angels or like anything extra planar can't be killed unless it's on its home plane. In which case it can be killed. And even then, the fact that they are regenerating is the story, right? Like, there's a whole, like, I think the Tarrasque is the only one that sits poorly to me in that it is the epitome of the Gygaxian, oh, well, fuck you, players. How dare you get powerful and level up in this game that I suggested we play and that I ran for you that is about getting more powerful and leveling up?
Yeah.
Right? Like, the Tarrasque is mechanically uninteresting and just a giant fuck you to players. But that's not a problem about it being unkillable. That's a problem about it being a boring design.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think so. I mean, even if there was something unkillable, actually unkillable in the book, if the god above all was in the books, unkillable, right? I'd still find that interesting.
I would find it interesting simply because, like, It's the fundamental tenet of games. If it has stats, it can be killed.
Right.
The moment you give it stats, people will figure out a way around all of the silly little abilities, unless you are writing it in such a way that it's like, yeah, and this thing can't be killed. And when it's dropped to 0 hit points, instead, one of the player characters dies because fuck them.
Right.
In which case, you enter into a new thing of like, how do you design that in a way that like is interesting? Like, how do you make this not feel like utter horse shit?
Yeah.
And I don't think that Dungeons & Dragons could do that, because they design a bunch of stuff that's pretty normal and straight across the board and still feels like bullshit. But
if you could.
It could be done.
Yeah, it could be done. And I think we'd find a way to make it interesting.
Not to mention the fact that, like, let's be honest, this is not a Dungeons & Dragons show. Like, this isn't just a show about the game. This is a criticism podcast. We are here because they are not doing the best job designing some of these monsters.
Right.
If they did do that and they did a bad job, that would frankly be a goddamn playground for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
You mean a whole episode where I get to go like, hey, so this monster fucking sucks.
Yes. And we're
what
still fighting
jackass.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
I want the name of this writer.
If we ran into an unkillable monster that was written with like playground kid rules, it's like, no, I've got all the powers. We would absolutely have a field day with that.
Chris on the Discord has asked, any plans on another multi-guest or multi-part episode a la Aboleth or Drow? If not, what monster that you haven't covered yet would be the perfect one to have said episode?
Usually the multi-part episodes are because we've gone on too long.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep an episode over an hour and a half.
We don't plan multi-part episodes.
Yeah.
We just accidentally do them sometimes.
But as far as larger casts, sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. Anytime we face, like probably for the Purple Worm episode, it'll be a couple people.
It'd have to be because the other consideration for a party episode is, does the ability of the monster call for a party?
Right.
In terms of raw challenge rating, we could have done the Aboleth one-on-one.
Sure.
But all of the abilities of the Aboleth lend themselves to a party so that you can do some fuckery.
Yep.
Right? Like, if there wasn't three people, how do you mind control someone? Now, Rich didn't choose to use those abilities on principle. Good for you, Rich. But if he wanted to, and it was a one-on-one fight, you've fucking destroyed the show.
Right. It's over. It's over real quick.
Yeah.
And once the Purple Worm swallows someone, All right. Well,
exactly. Like, yeah, we could narrate fucking 45 minutes of you trying to claw your way out of the stomach. But like,
right. We could do the most frightening part from Nope.
Yeah.
If we really wanted to.
I'm just taking a look through here to see what else might warrant. Yeah, like on raw size, like a chimera, maybe, but those are relatively low challenge. Like we could do it one on one.
Maybe a storm giant if we, but yeah, we've done giants, and I don't
wanna. Like even more so than the fucking dragons. Like we talked about giants. The concept is what if big man?
Yeah.
Fuck, I'm not doing six episodes of this.
Fair enough.
The Death Knight could be a good one. Yep. For a party, if for no other reason than just sort of like the almost Power Rangers-y vibe of like one slightly bigger guy in a silly suit fighting five people in silly suits. Not saying that we should go that route for the AP or
that's fun though. I like
but
that.
But like,
yeah.
Or even just like less goofy, like that is the thing, right? Is coming up against this big sort of hellbound knight with the adventuring party and having this person who is big enough that your fighter runs at them and they backhand the fighter across the room and the cleric starts panicking, right? You kind of have to do that.
Again. And then other episodes like the Drow, where it just made sense to have more voices and therefore we had more people. So well, there's things like that that could come up as well.
Yeah. That one was the same number of people as usual, right? Because it was still three people, but we
shifted. Oh, because I stepped up, right. Yeah.
But we did shift it around in terms of Liv and Austin both played PCs for that one, and I played the monster as opposed to one of them playing the Drow, one of them trying to kill the Drow, and me playing me.
Yeah.
Otherwise, though, like, I'm flipping through this real quick, and I'm not seeing a whole lot that really, like, immediately calls out to me as interesting for a multi-party situation.
Yeah. It also really steps up both the recording time and the production time. So we do try to avoid that when possible.
Bremoraz, maybe.
Maybe.
Shield Guardian, but Shield Guardian's really, again, just it's another golem. It's an object. I don't know if that's even going to be an interesting episode to flip back to another question.
I mean, the Beholder probably should have been one, but it played out great as a one-on-one.
That's the thing, is I think we found a really interesting in on the Beholder to make it work as a one-on-one. Umber Hulk is another with a hypnosis ability.
Right.
Might require a secondary. Or we've also done a couple where we just record a couple NPCs and just run with it.
Right. The Medusa's another one that easily could have been
Felt like that should have been multi-person just for the sake of allowing someone to get petrified.
But it also played out so well.
It did. And I mean, especially for Nikki, who's like such a fucking sweet person.
Yeah.
Like running that character in that way. Of course.
And there was someone petrified at the end in that one.
you gotta pay off the thing, right?
Absolutely. And sometimes that takes a party, but most times we can do it one-on-one. So it just depends. Maybe. Probably, but maybe. Mm-hmm. All right. Back up to Eric on Discord.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see here. Oh, interesting. Have you had a most frustrating episode? Like the subject matter from D&D that was kind of okay, give me a minute type of dumb frustrating, or creative ideas for the AP weren't coming like normal? Re-recordings, etc. Dragon Turtle.
Dragon Turtle was a pain in the ass.
And that wasn't anyone's fault except ours.
No. We've probably told this story before. That was another one where we initially recorded it as like a full party. And I gave everybody full license to go balls to the wall. And that was a mistake for our show, right?
Yep, like, absolutely. It was a great fun. We had a great 4-hour AP.
What was it? I think Dylan straight up played a bear with an axe.
Yep.
Sin played a celestial warlock refused to fight the turtle and was married to the celestial patron, I think.
Yes.
And Wally came in and was like, I'm just going to play Monkey D. Luffy. Fuck you.
Right, exactly. Again, all great choices.
Really funny. It was a lot of fun, but like it very rapidly sort of degraded, which ignore the implications of that word, into a home game. Like it was a lot of fun.
Yep.
Fundamentally unlistenable. We all just got so wrapped up in enjoying the fact that we got to play with some of our friends.
Yeah.
That like it just wound up being a silly, goofy fucking beer and pretzels game.
Which like, would have been fine, but it didn't focus on the monster.
It didn't focus on the monster. Everybody was pulling so much spotlight because they had such funny, like goofy ass ideas. It didn't land. And then, of course, we ran into the problem of, like, one, straight up the social anxiety of, like, having to go to people and be like, hey, listen, guys, this was 100% on me. This is not on you. I fucked this up, and I have to re-record the episode you were on. I'm so sorry.
Yep, and you're not going to be on the re-record. Sorry.
We're just going to try to play this one straight so that I, like, eliminate the variables and we can get a clean one. And then trying to schedule with Gliza, he's like, on both ends, we just had life coming up, just chaos. So scheduling became a bastard. I think it legitimately took like a year and a half, maybe 2 years between recordings to get that done.
That was a 2-year ordeal to get that one done. And it ended up being great. We were right. It just was frustrating getting there.
Yeah. I think that's the only one I would really call it on. Cause otherwise, like, the subject matter is always like that is what we are getting into it. I recently was talking to someone that hopefully we're going to have on as a guest where I brought it up like, hey, this is a subject matter we're asking you to speak on. I know that's a bit of an ask, right? We're asking for emotional labor and like, frankly, D&D fans are pricks. So anytime we have a guest on and the subject matter gets rough, we're putting someone in the line of fire. So it's like, just, I want to be completely above board. I recognize this is what we're asking. And if you don't want to talk about that and don't want to get in that fight, fucking fair.
100%.
But, like I said, everybody goes in with their eyes open. Everybody's read the monster manual before they show up on the fucking episode. So,
yep. And we always get the discussion part to everyone early so they can listen to it and go, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, like I said, we have some brilliant people, and sometimes it takes like tossing a couple ideas back and forth before we hit the AP idea, but we get there.
Yeah, I've never been frustrated.
No, it's always a good conversation feel of like, what if we did this? Like, I've even started off with like this straight up, like, hey, this is a bad idea, but this is our starting point. This is just the zeroth level. What if we just did a standard ass adventurer walks into a dungeon?
And I've been real married to ideas that when we get into that room, they're like, well, that's fine, but, and I push hard for it, but then in the end go, you know what? You're right. That's a better idea. Let me retract mine. Yeah. Let's go with that instead.
Yeah.
Rust Monster was a good example of that.
Yeah, where we both came in with ideas and Zach was like, what if we did this? And we just went, yep, yeah, nope, that's right. That's right. You're good. I think we actually did first like push back like, okay, but how would that work? But it was that, right? Like I said, it's a collaborative situation of just like, I like that idea. How would it work, though? Convince me that this will make for an episode and not just a great session if we were to run it home.
Right. And how can we keep this under an hour and a half?
Yeah. That's always the fun game is like, that idea is awesome. Going back to the Beholder, right? Yeah. Other Zach came at us with that idea. And I was like, that is awesome. I'm going to scrap about 2/3 of it.
Right. Because we've got to get this done, Zachary.
I don't have that kind of time. You're in fucking Australia. You don't have that time. One of us has to go to sleep.
Technically, Zach's in the future. So technically, Zach, I guess, has the time. But, but we had to get that done.
So, yeah, that's sort of where that one sits.
Agreed.
Alex asked, the AP usually follows the conversation, and then the conversation usually veers around, what would you do differently or better? Have you ever considered using the bettered monster for the AP?
I think sometimes we do.
We debate it.
Rust Monster is a perfect example. We definitely used the ideas we had for the better monster.
We used the ideas and the improved like lore.
Right.
And that will often be the case. But a lot of it, because we have to run it, right?
Like, right.
except
we just
for,
use the stats I think, in the book.
Kappa and Gengar, where we straight up invented monsters and could have the improved version before we started.
Well, the
recording.
Kappa's in the book.
No, it isn't. I'm pretty sure Kappa wrote that.
Oh, I thought. Oh, never mind that.
Like there might be a Kappa in a book,
right?
But if I'm remembering
the Kappa
this,
came in with is what the one they wrote. Okay,
yeah.
But you're right. For the Pokemon episode, we had to just make
I
that
just
up.
Had to write that ahead of time. But like I said, a lot of the time you wind up going through and like all of the ideas we're pitching for improving the monster would require designing that monster. You would have to fully design the monster, which like you could conceivably do, but we do a 1 day recording, generally speaking, sometimes if, you know, availability, but generally speaking, we record the discussion, do a quick break, maybe have a quick conversation, record the AP. And I don't want to eat somebody's entire fucking day with, all right, cool. So we recorded the discussion. Now let's sit down and fucking design an entire monster from the ground up.
Yeah, and then run the AP afterwards. It just wouldn't work.
Yeah, we'll sometimes do, like, let them use an ability that we thought would be cool. Something that would be, like, a quick and dirty solution. But, like, we're not going to redesign a monster for the episode. It's just not practical.
It just isn't practical. It would be fun. It'd be a neat idea, but we don't have 2 days to record.
Yeah. And also, frankly, I've reached a point where I was annoyed with Dungeons & Dragons when we started this show. I have very much reached a point where if you tell me, like, hey, work in this system some more, like, I don't want to do that most of the time.
I don't want to engage any more than we already are. All right. Mel on Discord. You've mentioned before how Dylan had to take the casting reins away from Aram early on. What other key aspects of producing the show have had dramatic changes since you said you started making it? Huh.
So I think the one major one is the DM's notes, which, I mean, we sort of talked about already. Otherwise, not really much.
No, my editing's better. We switched to Riverside. These are just technical things, though.
Yeah, they're small things. Like, some of it has become a little bit more of a mad scramble because my life got real busy towards the end of this fucking degree, which hopefully will be done soon. So we're far less ahead of things than we were. But
right, we're not the year ahead we once were. Yeah, so that's kind of changed. But that's not really in how we do things.
No, I think largely we kind of hit a good stride in terms of overall structure. The only major change, aside from Aram is not allowed to come to me and say, we're going to get this guy on. And when I go, why? He says, hot.
At least I'm honest.
No. What was it? You sent me a couple people where you were like, hey, I met some folks at Gen Con. Here's a couple of people who I think would be really cool for the show. And you sent a list of just like femme presenting sort of folks. And you're like, yeah, here, because I know I'm not allowed to cast. And I legitimately told you, like, no. You don't want to fuck these people. Like,
right. You're not allowed to cast men.
Yeah. My fundamental objection is not present here. So I will trust your judgment.
That's the only really thing you've taken away from me. I suppose the other thing that's changed is that you sat me down early in season one and was like, Aram, this is a show about the guests, not about your special little boy you've designed.
Right. Yeah. You are not the main character.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot, because we've told that story before. It's just,
I had ideas.
Yeah. You had ideas. You had thoughts.
Didn't really matter.
Which we're going to come back to in this whole vampire situation.
No, we're not. I'm right.
We're not. No, but otherwise, I think that's
nothing's really changed.
No.
We've kind of gotten to a really good flow.
We know we're at it.
We've gotten better at it. We know what to expect from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, I think we just kind of have a rhythm in how we make it now.
No, I think we've sort of hit what producing this show needs to look like.
Agreed.
Cole has a question that's specifically just for you. Feel free to get up on your high horse. And I swear to God, if you say the word vampire, I will jump through this screen and throttle you.
Go ahead.
Are there any characters you've played that you want to play again?
Oh, yeah, there's definitely ones. I wish I could remember his name, but I love
None
the little
names matter. They're always awful.
I love the little kobold from, oh, was it a goblin?
Was it the Mephits?
No, it was the one from the Gathias tree episode that was also in another episode.
Yeah.
What was that guy? Was that a kobold? Maybe a goblin. It was one of the two. I kind of play them the same.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Because they are the same.
They are totally the same.
We'll talk to unnamed guests later in the next season about that. Yeah. But no, that is one of the ones where it ended in a space, sort of a nebulous space of like, they showed up in the Gulthias episode gunning for the whole situation. They came back evil in the unicorn episode. It could be nice to do sort of a three act thing, but also same sort of issue we always wind up on, right? To do that would require setting you up for a success, setting you up for a given ending. Right. And I don't want to hem the guests in like that, especially given that like some of the guests listen to the show ahead of time. Some of them listen to a couple episodes before we record. Some of them don't know us from a fucking hole in the ground. And I'm not going to be like, hold on, Aram has a special little boy. I really would love to use your episode to wrap up a narrative that we just sort of ambiently accidentally created like fucking 3 years ago.
Yep. I mean, the answer is I love most of the characters I make. And would I play them again? Sure, because I like the little character I made. It'd be easier to say the ones I wouldn't. And right off the bat, the guy from the People episode, he was a bad, bad man. And I felt bad in the moment in some of my choices when I was just like, I need to be worse.
You created a guy where evil was the one note.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not.
He was going to do the bad thing no matter what.
It's not fun.
No, it didn't feel good to play. It felt right for the story, but I felt
100%.
Bad.
That's the thing, though, is like you've played a lot of scumbags, but you usually play a scumbag where like it comes from somewhere. This guy was evil because we knew that was the brief and you just leaned into it hard. And
yeah,
like,
it was
like you
the
said,
worst
it fucking
people.
Worked for the episode. I have no complaints, but that isn't fun to play.
Yeah. When
and
I
there
was
isn't
like
a fun story to tell with that. So why bring it back?
Yeah, when I was like, burn the inn, you all looked at me like, Jesus, Aram.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I know, but he's supposed to be like this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wouldn't want to touch that guy again.
No. And, like, I don't want you to play any of these things again. I don't want you building out your fucking connected world.
Right, which I desperately do. And you stomp on whatever I put up the single little sprout of an idea about it.
No, actually, there's only one where I feel the obligation to do that. And that is getting Alex back for a third AP.
Yes.
Because that is another one where we like very explicitly like lined that up for, well, I say we, Rich on a fucking whim decided that I have to do a third part to that narrative.
Yep.
But it 100%. Hasn't come up yet. So, you know, maybe we'll figure that out and maybe we won't. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Cause that's,
but if Rich says so, we have to, it's the law.
So here's where Rich sort of fucked me. I love you, Rich. I need to make that abundantly clear. This is in no way a real complaint. This is the practical consideration I have to make. And otherwise, I love you dearly. He fucked me because those are thematic in like a very like conscious-ish way, right? Like,
yeah.
It was the Flumph and it was an old one warlock. And so like leading that into the Aboleth really sort of made sense. But then we started getting these like wave motifs and this water theme going. And then he goes like, yeah, and there's a bigger thing deeper down that's water and shadows.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the fuck in the monster manual can I use that is going to fit that brief? And because now these are characters who have abilities, fit in the level progression.
Yeah.
Because it has to be stronger than an aboleth.
Stronger than an aboleth. Exactly.
What is stronger than an aboleth still hits a water theme and still hits an old one vibe that can pay off this warlock story.
Is it the Leviathan?
There isn't a fucking Leviathan, Aram.
Oh, there's not?
There's a Kraken.
Oh, right, right.
But like, that
but that's
doesn't
not as powerful the, as an that, aboleth. Yeah.
No, it's more powerful. It's significantly more powerful. I still have Monster Manual open here. Give me a second.
I suppose then they could do the
but
the
even
Kraken.
That, like, Kraken like gets a whole bunch of lair actions, challenge rating 23, immunity to lightning, bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing from non-magic weapons, yada, yada, yada. But like, now that I'm looking at the Kraken, I'm like, it's the Kraken, right? It's the giant squid. It yeah. fights boats. It's the anti-pirate campaign weapon.
Yep.
If someone comes in to play the Kraken again, I'm not going to be like, hey, actually, we have, I got a buddy of mine lives in China. We're going to do this thing. Like, no, absolutely not.
Yeah. It's a bit much.
Yeah.
But at some point we have to do something because
well,
that's
the thing.
We were.
No, we don't, because it was season 2 and we're going into season 5 now.
This is true.
No one's going to call me on that except for the people
for the
listening to
guests,
this right now.
For the 10 listeners
and I won't
who
listen
remember.
To any of them because yeah. and I'm going to give you this reminder yet again. This show isn't a fucking democracy.
No, it's not. Not even for me. So yeah, probably yeah. not. All right. Eric on Discord. Have you or Dylan ever done or considered doing third-party content for something like DM's Guild with your monster edits? Well, technically, we have already done third-party content.
Have I guess don't we did the did we publish the Gengar at all? Like you did
we
the Gods
did publish
Fall
the
book.
Gengar. The Gengar was on the main Oh, like, I think I was interpreting this as, like, for the podcast.
Oh,
feed.
For the... No. That's the thing. That's where I'm like, maybe we skip this one, because that's driving you back into the danger territory. And saying. Like,
okay.
It's begging you to talk about the thing that I'm saying, don't talk mm-hmm. to them about it, because you make us beholden to it.
That's fair. Okay. Eric on Discord, what's a favorite thing you've done in a game that you've played in? A favorite RP session that I have one hit point left and was barely able to kill the BBEG moment. I know exactly what this was, and it was recently in Alex's Curse of Strahd game. Alex, first of all, has a fantastic take on the mm-hmm. game where we're all playing people from Barovia, not people who walked through the mystical mist and got stuck. We're playing people who were raised under this oppressive regime and have decided to rise up. And that makes it a really fun game. But the guy I'm playing is named Vahi. And Vahi is a fallen paladin of Helm because Strahd captured him after a failed assassination attempt, kept him in his castle for a year, tortured him, and then eventually just let him go out of like, you're pathetic, and just tossed him out. But the entire time he was in there, he managed to forgive his jailers, except for Strahd. He was never going to forgive Strahd, but he forgave everyone else because he saw that they were just under the control of Strahd. And Helm didn't like that. Helm was like, no, you should get revenge on all these people. They're all part of this bad system. And I was like, no, they're just victims, and you know it's no fair to you know it's just not fair to treat them the same way. And so Helm walked away from me, and I became a fallen paladin. And when I was searching for some way to both find my path again and hurt Strahd, I came across his horse, Buciferous, who also can't be blamed. They're a nightmare, but nightmares are made when you rip the wings off Pegasi, torture them, and turn them evil. So in a lot of ways, just like everyone else, this is Strahd's fault that Buciferous was turned evil. But he became friends with his horse and bonded with it and was able to steal the horse away from Strahd. So later, when we're in his castle, kind of poking around at a level where we shouldn't be poking around, we end up in the teleportation room with all the little teleportation rocks, and then Strahd just walks the fuck in. And there's nothing we can do, and we're horribly just outgunned. We had just had fights up until this point, so we're drained anyway. And so, in a last-ditch attempt, I told one of my party members to get ready with one of the rocks, and I dropped to my hands and knees behind Strahd and summoned the horse. And the horse went to kick Strahd as my friend tossed a transportation rock in, and because the horse rolled a natural 20, it worked. And we sent Strahd as far away as we could, and then turned to each other and was like, holy shit, what do we do now? And that was one of the best moments I've ever played in a game.
I like that a lot. That's great. It's terrible, but like,
it's ridiculous, but sometimes the dice let you tell a story. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Absolutely. So I'm gonna give two of them. One was also a Strahd campaign where they played it all the way through, top to bottom, played it to the hilt. They got there, they fought Strahd, they smashed the extra heart, they got all the magic items, and they fought him to, not even to a standstill, they fought him to the point where his turn rolled around, and if the paladin attacked, I die. Like, basically no matter what. He has multi-attack, so like the odds of him missing twice, infinitesimal. But I had my attack action. I went after the cleric, and I dropped him. And I picked the cleric up by the throat and just said, hey, you did great. This is the most entertaining thing that has happened in Barovia in centuries. And in recognition of your good works, I will release you. But you need to stand down. And if you're so confident that you could kill me, you can try. But what I will promise you is if you swing that sword at me, I'm going to snap this man's neck. And it will be your fault. So, do you want to try? Or do you want to leave? And it was the most depressing ending to a Curse of Strahd game I've seen so far. Because they literally took the unconscious, like, healing body of the cleric, strapped him to the back of a horse, slapped it on the ass, and sent it out. The rogue of the party basically, like, disappeared in the night. It was just like, I don't trust that we'll actually get to leave. I don't want to be, I'm going to find somewhere else to be, and I'm just going to lay low until I die. And the fighter decided, God, we also had a Kenku. I can't remember what their class was. Doesn't really matter, but they basically just went home to their family a failure.
Oh, man.
And the paladin just went like, I'm going to finish it. And I looked at him. I was like, you know, there was travel time, right? Like you left the castle. You've been gone. Strahd has had several long rests. Like, he is fine. And you're alone. You went, yep. I know how this ends. That's fine. And so, yeah, it was just everybody went off, had to live their life. And the paladin died in that castle.
Oh, that is a depressing ending to the game.
Right? But it felt like it felt so good. On the nose, and it felt appropriate. Like, the win in that one, like, if you were making that as, like, a book or a fucking movie, right? The moment where you shatter the perception, the thing the players don't see, but that the audience knows, that Strahd, for a second, made this bargain as a last-ditch effort. You cracked the facade and Strahd felt fear.
Yep.
And he manipulated you to get out alive because that was the only thing he had left.
Which is a very Strahd thing to do.
It, like I said, it hit fucking exact notes where I'm just like, this is the way this campaign ends. This is perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck. It was good. The other one would be the time that, like, I brought Asmodeus into a game, just fully, like, had the devil appear. It was a negotiation between the party, Kelimvor and Asmodeus, and I had him show up. Just this very, very, like, tall, powerful, like, dark robe, wide open, shirtless, six-pack, shows up, looks around the table at where he's expected to sit, sees like a mundane wooden chair and just goes, no. Throne. Sits down, waves his arm. The meeting table is coated in food. He starts eating and just goes, you can get in on this if you want. I promise you won't be my wife or anything. Goes through this entire thing, and I can't even remember what I said, but at one point, I turn to my friend who's playing a fight, the fighter. I just turn to her, and I wish I remembered what I said, but I just straight up had the devil propositioner. Just, oh, that's what it was. It's like, for whatever reason, the paladin was like weirded out, like ate a piece of ham and like looked at the bone and was like, is this hell ham? It's like, what the fuck do you mean with by is this hell ham? He's like, can I keep like the bone? It's like, yes, you can keep the bone. And I just turned to her and just go like, if you want to leave with a bone too, we can make that happen.
Oh no.
And I watched the moment the role playing sank because like she and I, no chemistry. We're just really good friends. It's great. But I saw the moment where she wanted to fuck the devil. And that's the funniest thing that has ever happened to me in a game.
Maybe. No, I should not.
I had her PC come back in like a one shot I ran years later as an arc fiend and the queen of hell, just because that made me laugh.
That's excellent. That's perfect.
I also... Actually, this is the other bit of that punchline was I spent the entire thing going like, okay, if I can pay this off, if I can get her to marry Asmodeus, like the entire campaign as it stood at that point, the reason Asmodeus was willing to negotiate was it was going to net him a spark of divinity. They were going to kill a god and he was going to take that and it would be enough to push him over the edge into being a god himself.
Yeah.
And they do that. If he marries this person who was a noble whose family owned land on the material plane, the next thing you do is send devils and murder her parents.
Oh, yeah.
And then absolutely the inheritance goes down.
Yep.
And the god of sin and lord of hell is now the rightful legal owner of land on the material plane.
Which means he can't be denied space on the material plane.
He goes there, and if you banish him, that's his.
Yep.
He lives here.
He just comes back.
Like you can't get him out.
I love that. You have to burn down the whole kingdom and then kill Asmodeus.
Yeah. You hit a point where it's not just like, oh, Asmodeus is fighting for souls. Asmodeus is fighting for, you know, this huge extra planet. Like, Asmodeus is going to take over the planet now.
Yeah.
He's going to wage a literal war.
Yep.
And create hell on earth.
That's a whole campaign to get rid of him at that point, which is excellent.
But
yeah.
But that was it. Was I made one dumb joke because I thought it'd be funny. Saw a little glint in the player's eye and I was like, I got a campaign here.
100%. That would be awesome. All right. Last question. Mel on Discord. What is the monster that you haven't done and currently don't have someone in talks to do that you're each most excited for?
We've hit my favorites for the most part. Like we talked about the Myconids. I like the weird little guys who either are or should be more interesting. We hit the Nothic. We hit the Myconids. Like, I don't really know what more I could want. Like when I look through the stuff that's left, there's a bunch of weird stuff, but it's like, it's goofy weird. It's like the Zorn. Like, that'll be a fun episode to record, but guy with extra arms eats rocks. That's fine. You know, a lot of the big monsters, we've seen big monsters. They're not interesting to me. They're sacks of hit points without mechanical interest behind them. So, like, what keeps me going at this point is the guests and that the takes they're going to bring to these monsters are going to be fascinating. It's going to be
people.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the table of contents right now and it's a big list of I don't give a shit.
I have an answer for this one. Now, technically we have someone in mind, but I have an answer for this one. bear. I can't wait to record the bear episode. That's going to be so much fun.
Yes, that is a fun and silly bit you have. Now give it a proper answer to the question.
Probably purple worm. I'm excited to record the purple worm. We have no one slated for that episode. Yeah, because I'm thinking about it for the AP angle, but I'm also thinking about the fact that we could come up with some really good ideas in the discussion angle, because there's not a lot there.
No.
So there's really interesting things we can do. And also because we can then talk about, again, the worms in Dune and the worms in Tremors, and there's a lot of discussion possible there. So that one I'm excited for.
Talk about the whale in Pinocchio.
Right, exactly.
The only thing that a purple worm does is it swallows you.
Yep, we can talk about Vore.
Please, no.
I mean, inevitably.
Aram!
Sorry.
Stacy's a little excited this morning. You know how toddlers can be.
Oh God, how much is that gonna cost?
Yeah, this one won't be cheap.
For $2 a month, supporters on patreon.com/killeverymonster get access to ad-free episodes as they're released. For $5, you'll get them early along with audio DMs notes featuring Aram and I discussing how we made each episode.
For $10 a month, you'll get audio and video DMs notes along with extended cutting room floor content that didn't quite make it into the main episode.
We also have a $25 investor level and a $50 producer level. Support at these tiers ensures we can continue to produce Kill Every Monster and allows us to hire more talent from the community. Both levels get a personalized shout-out at the end of every episode, and producers get a welcome pack of each official Dead Ghost and Kill Every Monster pin we have left in stock.
The $2, $5, and $10 patron tiers are available with a 7-day free trial for new subscribers. So head over to patreon.com/killeverymonster and check out everything we have to offer at no cost to you.
Want another free way to help the show? Give us a review. Written reviews are amazing, but even clicking 5 stars is a huge boost. Podcast reviews are the best way we have to get the show in front of new listeners. You can leave reviews for Kill Every Monster on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast Addict.
Find all the ways you can support the show and leave us a review at patreon.com/killeverymonster. Stacy, you put that cow down right now, young lady. Don't you snarl at me.